This is the National Finance Committee meeting of Pacifica for June 14th, 2022. We believe we have quorum, and I'm going to ask our Paul, our secretary, to take the roll.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Nick Arena. Chris Corey. Elizabeth.
Here, here.
Chris Corey?
Here, sorry.
Okay.
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Here.
Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Kim Kaufman.
Here.
Julia Kennard.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden. Sean Kelly McPherson.
I am here.
Okay, is that our Sean Paul Kelly McPherson?
Yeah, our Paul Nick Arena's here. I don't know if you got me.
Okay, hold on a second. I'll go back. Okay, James McFadden. James Sagerton.
Here.
Susan Young.
Here.
Okay, that's 10. You got a quorum.
Thank you. Very good. All right. Now I'm going to read the agenda and then move to adopt it. Convene meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time is number one. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt the agenda. Number four, the chair's announcements for 2 minutes. Number five, 3 minutes. Number six, report from the executive director, if available, 10 minutes, or as long as she cares to take. Number seven, report from the CFO, 10 minutes. Eight, motion to update Pacifica transaction limits, see Appendix A, Beth Von Gunten presenting, 20 minutes. Number nine, non-disclosure agreements, see Appendix B, 20 minutes. Number 10, a budget timelines and schedule for NFC review of budgets for fiscal year 22, 5 minutes. 11, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Is there any discussion, any additions or changes?
R. Paul.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah. Okay, the stuff with Appendix A, Appendix B, is it your intention that that should be included in the minutes as part of the agenda?
I imagine maybe it should be. Can you copy and paste that conveniently?
Of course I can.
All right.
My question is, do we want all that stuff in the agenda?
So,
in
other words,
we can do it if you want it. You're just going to have this enormous agenda in the front of the minutes. It's okay if people want it.
Well, let me put it this way. I don't particularly care to read it all because those non-disclosure agreements are lengthy and dense. So by not reading it, does that mean it won't appear?
I think there's probably a solution to this, something on the order of, let me think, how would we do this? We could add a, to the minutes, we could add an appendix to the minutes, I suppose.
Yes.
Sure.
So,
we'll have a
normal agenda.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have a normal agenda, and then after the meeting minutes, we'll have an appendix, and those will include Appendix A and Appendix B.
Excellent. That takes care of the main thing,
okay.
Memorializing it.
Beth seeks recognition.
Go ahead, Beth. Are you done, R. Paul?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Beth.
It's on this point. I saw the agenda as it arrived in the box, and it looks like there's more than one iteration of the motion we'll be addressing later in the day, in the meeting, and the only one I intend to address myself, the only one I'll be putting forth is the current one that I sent out at 4:59 Pacific time, about half an hour before the meeting. There are no substantive changes from previous iterations, the most recent previous iterations, but there were a couple of grammatical tweaks in response to concerns that people raised. But I don't think we need, like, multiple iterations of almost identical motion. So the one that I would propose is the one that I sent out most recently, by way of the list, if that's useful. Does that make sense, Arpal?
Okay, I'm looking at all of this stuff in the agenda now, and there's a lot of stuff about the past. Well, that ain't going in anywhere. I see a motion. I saw a motion from you earlier, and when you read the motion, it'll probably be what you sent out half an hour ago, and that's what I'll put into the minutes. And then there's a second motion. There's another motion in here. Oh, it's a transaction policy.
Yeah.
That's the only, is that the only motion?
Yeah, as far as
I
know.
Oh, well, then there's no real problem.
If I may explain.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Go ahead.
I, as you can see in Appendix A, I put draft version for review tonight, meaning that this is the current version. Since we had a previous version, I put both the previous version and the current version in the agenda so that people could make the comparison to satisfy themselves about, you know, how it has or hasn't changed. That's the only reason I did that.
Pardon me, there are some neighbors who are having some kind of a massive, very loud party, and I can hardly hear myself over here. Let me get to your email again. And, okay, if both of the A and B, if both those appendices are just the motions, then they don't have to be in the appendix. If they're made during the meeting, they go into the minutes. So what I think might be good would be to strike for 8 and 9, see Appendix A and see Appendix B. In fact, I think I'm going to make an amendment to that effect. And what it will do is your email exists, and that's what informed people. However, we'll just treat it as something from the email. And it doesn't have to go into the minutes at all, and therefore it doesn't have to confuse anyone at all. So I am going to move to strike. One second. Okay, I moved to strike. Going between different applications here. I moved to strike on number 8, motion to update Pacifica Trends action limits. I moved to strike C Appendix A. And on 9, non-disclosure agreements, I moved to strike C Appendix B. Okay? That's my amendment.
That's fine by me. Is there any other discussion or any other suggestions? Hearing none, is there any objection to Arpal's amendment? Hearing none, that amendment is now incorporated into the main motion, and I'll ask if there is any objection to the agenda as amended. Hearing none, we can proceed. Thank you all. Okay. That takes us to number 4, Chair's Announcements. It's very simple tonight. Tonight we will hear the regular report from the CFO. We will also consider a motion on transaction limits. We will also review the previously distributed non-disclosure agreement and consent to use electronic transmission forms. The Executive Director has announced that there will be no application for Corporation for Public Broadcasting grants until next year, and that's it for the new announcements, and that takes us to number 5. Arpal, I understand we have some minutes.
Yes, hold on.
Take your time.
Hello, am I still on?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Grabbed the phone, and I'm never going to get used to this phone with all these buttons everywhere on it. Okay. I moved to bring that up. One second, please. Okay, I moved to approve the minutes of the May 10th, 2022 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider that. Yes?
I think I need to be listed as abstention if anyone cares, because I wasn't at the meeting.
Okay, that's fair.
Wait a minute, who's talking and what's this about?
Sorry, Susan Young. I wasn't at the last meeting, therefore I cannot vote on it.
Okay.
So she's abstaining.
Well, then we have to go through an entire... Then we have
so
to
then
vote.
Don't, okay, so then I will not bother to abstain. I withdraw my abstention.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right.
And I have no objection to that.
All right.
Very good.
Okay, so the motion on the floor is...
Yes.
That. Yes.
Okay. And I heard no objection, so I'll give it one more try. Any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider that adopted. R. Paul?
Okay. I move to approve the minutes of the May 24th, 2022 NFC meeting.
Any discussion? And remember, this is always with the proviso that minutes can be updated at any time in the future with corrections or changes. Hearing no objection, we'll consider that adopted. Thank you, R. Paul. Okay. Stephanie, we have a report from the executive director is number 6, and I always put if available, since I know sometimes you don't have anything to report or you've been busy all day doing something else. Would you like to take some time?
Sure. I just have just to let people know, if I'm sure some of you were on this call as well yesterday, but the strategic planning committee met yesterday with the key staff from each of the stations and divisions to brainstorm on immediate national fundraising efforts. And this was based upon a discussion that the strategic planning committee had a few weeks prior.
Stephanie, may I ask you to stop for just a second? It's my understanding that meeting wasn't streamed because it was an executive session, and we neglected to make a report out from that meeting. So I don't know how much you want to describe what occurred in that meeting. We'll have to make a report out about things that weren't, you know, necessarily appropriate for executive session. But we wanted everybody to speak freely, and we had all the personnel there. So we wanted to make sure there was no difficulty. So I leave it to you to go ahead and report what you think is appropriate.
Well, basically, we created a National Fund Drive working group that is just made. It's going to be made up of just staff representatives from each division, Julia Kennard and myself, and we are going to be meeting with the goal of developing and holding a 2-day fund drive in early July. So it was. We're in the process of just kind of brainstorming, and I spoke with some of the people that were on the call last night, just on what we need to do to move forward.
And it was an uplifting meeting.
Yeah, it was.
So I think that's exactly the kind of language that would be in the report out when we do it next time. Did I hear another voice? Are there any questions for Stephanie? Is that all you wanted to say, Stephanie?
I mean, it's not really a report, but my brain is kind of focusing on budgeting for fiscal year 23. So just to kind of plant that seed in this committee's minds to know
yes.
That we can kind of start focusing on that soon. That's it.
Very good. Thank you, Stephanie. Any other questions for Stephanie? Hearing none, let's go on to number seven, the report from the CFO. Julia? By the way, Julia, I saw your written report. That was very nice.
Hi there. Thank you. Yes, and I apologize. I'm embarrassed. I ate some ice cream, and my mouth is still a little bit frozen. So if I sound what it is. Yes, of course, I think everyone knows. It's been busy, busy, busy. Lots of meeting, lots of planning, lots of audit work. My goal for next week, even though we don't have a meeting, I told James having the first of the month be on a Wednesday this year threw all of my weeks off with the Tuesdays. So I know we don't have a meeting next week, but I'm hoping to have financials out next week anyway for the month of May. That being said, I've still, as we've said before, been working a lot on the audit. I won't have another update until probably Thursday on that, but more information to come. For that, again, it's just it's a constant work in progress with that. One of the things I've been focusing on, and I hate to say unfortunately, because it surprisingly it does take more time than you would think, both with staff conversations, employees with conversations with Arthur, vendors, just different things. But as of today, if we look at the national office alone, they have about $52,000 in the bank and payables of $330,000. Now, $75,000 of that $330,000 is for things like, I start thinking ahead. So June 30 payroll, the health insurance that is for July that is due in June, the liability insurance, things like that. So 75 of that is due by July 1st. I do know that we have a couple of deposits coming in. At least with that $75,000, we hopefully will be okay with those deposits coming in, but it still leaves us in the situation that, that $330,000 in accounts payable is still going to continue to grow. If we can't quite seem to get ahead of the game here with those. KPFK, was somebody ask? Did I hear somebody?
I don't think so.
Okay. KPFK is in a fund drive, as many of you know. I don't know the exact number. I believe yesterday, I haven't had a chance to look today, but can do that while we're talking. But, it's averaging about $5,500 a day. And we know that that is not something that can sustain operations at the station. $5,500 a day, even that gross amount only covers, covers the two payrolls and health insurance and maybe a little bit of the electricity bill. Knowing that we've repackaged that all of the past due on the electricity and into 18 months worth of payment going forward, plus we have to pay the electricity bill, the regular bill, we can't not pay it any longer. That eats up $5,000 a day before you even get through 30 days. So that AP balance for them, not including the past due electricity, is, I thought I had it right here in front of me, but I don't. It's a couple hundred thousand dollars. So those would be the two extreme situations with outstanding payables where we're having problems with cash. We will see. I should hope that we'd be able to fund payroll by the 30th, but it's going to be close, and we're not going to be able to pay anything else other than health insurance. So, I hate to repeat information that people have heard, because I know so many of you have been on some of these other calls where I've talked about this, but we have had some conversations about the archives being in a situation where they may not be able to fully fund their payroll at the end of this month. It's a topic of conversation about what we're doing to try to generate some fundraising either directly for them or through some of the units. That is a win-win for both of them. But again, that's probably not going to turn around anything in the next 2 weeks. I feel pretty good about WBAI and, of course, WPFW and KPFA and the affiliates funding their payroll by the end of the month. KPFT feels like they will be able to do that. And I would say KPFT and the archives and, of course, KPFK are the units that it is a week-by-week situation as to feeling whether they can or cannot fund payroll. Fortunately for the archives, their payroll is substantially – well, yeah, their archives and KPFT have very small payrolls, so recovering from that is not as challenging as it is at KPFK, but, well, there is no but there. It's just, it's much easier to come up with $7,000 worth of payroll than it is for $40,000 worth of payroll. If we're not going into financials, I'm trying to think, since this is open session, I guess I'm limited on what I could say, some specifics on some vendors and things. So I'm happy to open it up for questions and kind of let y'all take the lead in letting me know what kind of information you're interested in.
Does anyone else want the stack after our poll?
I heard somebody.
Go ahead, our poll. I'm sorry, who was that?
Beth.
Okay, go ahead, our poll. Thank you.
Okay. I didn't quite catch what you said about the KPFK electricity thing. What's the story of what exactly is going on with that?
Sure. So, as you might recall, there was over $60,000 in past due invoices from the Southern California Edison. And what we did was they, out of nowhere, decided that the moratorium was over, if we want to call it that, and that we had to come up with that $60,000+ payment within a week at the time. And, of course, that was not going to happen. So I reached out to them, and they were willing to, what they do is they take their past due balance and they bundle it and they, remove it as past due and they repackage it and invoice it out for however long they're willing to negotiate a payment plan for you. And so when I had spoken to them, they had said 12 months. And then Arthur reached out to them, and he was able to get them to split it out over 18 months because my concern was that even at 12 months, making the regular expense payment plus the past due payment spread out over 12 months, it's a big nut for that office to swallow. But the 18 months helped a little bit. I think that gets it down to maybe $3,500 a month that's due on the 20th of each month for 18 months, and then their average bill is around $7,500 to $8,000 a month. So, but we have to make the payments.
Okay, so that's simultaneous.
They do allow us to pay it separately. Due dates, because they also recognize that it's two separate. One is an actual payment plan for the past due, and I was able to get I haven't set it up yet, but they were able to help me get the information to where I can set up online access, so we're not having to mail checks and worry about them being late. You can try to manage payments online. But yeah, that's 10,000 that at least 10,000 that we will need to pay. And that's why I've kind of bunched that into, when I talk about things we have to pay, you know, payroll, health insurance, that electricity bill. Fortunately for KPFK, they're on things like power. Am I mute? Not sure who that is. They don't have $16,000 tower rent like, you know, someplace else might. So staying on the air type expenses for things, direct expenses to keep them on the air, like tower rent, things like that, are substantially less than they might be at another station.
Okay, so final thing, what did you say the average monthly bill is going to be?
$7,000 to $8,000 is what I've seen. Plus, then we do the additional payment for the payment plan on the other, on the past due.
Thank you.
Beth?
Beth?
Can you update us on where we stand in the audit process right now? Thank you.
I'm waiting to hear back from George. He says that he should have an update by Thursday on where we are with that. I know that I'm a little bit in a holding pattern waiting for some communication to start doing some testing and things like that. Yeah, it's moving along. I think it's going to be extremely close to the deadline, but we are working feverishly to accomplish that. And of course, you know, over the next 2 weeks, we'll be, you know, most likely having daily calls, making sure that everyone has what they need to make that happen.
Thank you.
And we have made the first payment. We have made the first payment on that.
Good.
So I think it's about half.
Julia, how is the flow of information that you need coming from the stations? Are you getting everything? Have you gotten everything you need?
Please don't mention
any individuals or any stations.
So I reached out to everyone at the end of last week to let them know that was going to pick up this week and next week, as far as like needing email documents. So we don't have a lot of that. Like, I'm not waiting on anything right now. I'm from the units, but I did reach out to everyone in a group email and just said, hey, if you're going to be on vacation or if you're going to be out sick, like everybody, I need to know everyone's situation, because when I ask for something, it has to be an immediate turnaround. You know, we won't be able to say, oh, well, Susie Q decided to take a couple days off. And nobody knows where that is. We have to have a plan. So, and everybody understood that, and you know, knows that it's all hands on deck and immediate turnaround. I don't anticipate that we'll have a problem. Other than, you know, sometimes there are situations where people cannot find something. So, I mean, it happens. And usually, when that happens, the auditor will say, "Hey, all right, well, he'll spit out a couple of other documents and say, well, find this instead." As long as you don't tell them multiple times in a row that you can't find something, they're okay.
Good. Anyone else? Julia, do you want to say anything in general? I guess you already did in a way, but you want to say anything about the national office? I noticed they're not on your list here.
That's why I gave that update. Now, with the cash being at $52,000, and the payables being at $330,000. Now, I didn't really go into too much detail on the other fund drives. I can tell you a little bit of that. The KPFT May fund drive, from what I understand, was just under $45,000. $45,000. So you can do some mental math there as to what that would be per day. They have another one starting August 3rd. KPFA, I don't know. I need to ask Maria you know, they only had a, when I spoke to her at the end of May, they only had a 2 or 3 days left of their fund drive, and they were only about halfway through, but they extended a few more days and ended up with about $478,000 raised versus a goal of $500,000. And they have collected about $375,000 of that. WBAI this month is around, now this was yesterday or Sunday, maybe. I can't remember when I checked it, but they were right at about $31,000. It's on the 13th, I think, so that was yesterday. And they've collected about 27 of that. So if you think, too, I was with the $65,000 that KPFK had raised as of yesterday, they had collected $52,000. Now, I started tracking, going back, I started a spreadsheet so I could go back and see how the change is occurring with, you know, when we say, oh, well, February we were at 84% fulfillment. Well, you know, if I go back a month later and look, I can't remember if it was 84% or 80%. So I kind of started a spreadsheet so I can track that. And I'm not sure what's going on with that, you know, at least 15% that ends up being left on the table and not collected. And I think that's one of the things that's on my list, is to figuring out what is the root of that.
Good. I know it was the subject of the Strategic Planning Committee meeting last night to a certain extent, but any general thoughts about how to fix the problem at the national office with so many stations not paying central services either at all or in a timely way? It's the same problem at PRA.
Right.
Just any general comments for the public?
You know, so you raise more money or you cut expenses. And I think in most places, a lot of the expenses are cut. I still think that we need to reevaluate that as we go into the 2023 budget process. I've said it before, and I'm not really sure that people are digesting really what I mean when I'm saying that the Pacifica cannot survive on fund drives alone that are generating individual gifts that are anywhere from $140 to maybe $100. And then you still are having to take a decent percentage out of that to pay for the call center, to pay for the premium itself, to pay to mail the premium, to pay for the staff. You know, that is not a business model that is going to work. And so it has to come through of course, we've said increasing your listenership, the more listeners you have and the good programming you have, you know, the more potential you have for raising funds. And so does that mean that your average gift is going to go up? No. It just means that most likely, given the structure of the quote thank yous that we give to our members or donors or whatever we like to call them, you're going to have more of it. But if you get $500 more, $140, that's still not going to save you. We have to be thinking about, this is a pie, and X percent would come from these fund drives driven by these premiums. But, you know, sometimes you have to sit back and say, okay, well, are these people, they could give more than that, but we're not asking them for more than that. We're giving them a thank you gift, or, you know, I know people don't like to hear that we're selling something, but, you know, these creams or whatever.
So whatever.
That person might have the capacity to give $500 or $1,000 or $5,000 just because they believe in what the station and the organization is doing, versus they're really being asked to just buy this $150 product. So that's got to be a smaller piece of the pie, or the approach has to change. And we've got to start digging through these. I mean, the information is there. KPFK has it. I know that WBAI has it. I don't understand Otisware, but I believe that WPFW could find it. And I actually do think WPFW does some of this, and WBAI to a certain extent. But where KPFK in particular, there needs to be some data mining going on in those allegiance reports of, you know, who are our supporters, who's been giving for years, who consistently gives, what level are they giving, and, you know, trying to figure out, oh, well, you know, we know this, what is their capacity to give? I'm not saying that is easy. That is a tremendous amount of work, but it's got to start somewhere. And that alone, understanding, just taking one little piece of that allegiance database and saying, hey, we're going to focus on this core group here that has been given X number of years and has always ended up purchasing, you know, stuff for, you know, averaging $1,000 a year, and reaching out to them and understanding their connection to the station, because, I mean, it is not easy. Somebody kind of made a smart comment the other day that, oh, major gifts, you know, yeah, it's just, you have to try. I mean, that is a warm call there. It's not just cold calling to somebody who is not committed to the station for some reason, and developing those relationships with some core piece of that that could help with the bigger dollar gifts. They're in there. We just need to ask them for it and not try to sell them cream.
Julie, I think we're well over time by now. If others have questions, I'm going to ask for a motion to extend. Does anybody else have any questions? Oh, that was Susan. So moved. Any objection to extending for 10? Okay, we'll extend from 10. Was anybody else? Go ahead, Julia.
Let me finish with one last comment. And I need somebody to help me understand where the exploration into some type of acceptable underwriting fighting has failed. Again, we have to move away. You know, the fund drive, you know, the people who are giving the $140, $200, those are important people. I mean, that's still raising, what, you know, $800,000, $900,000 a year. That's still a big chunk of money. But, you know, to make this work, to make the stations work, to make the whole organization work, you have to have large support, big dollar support. And that either has to be from individuals who really believe in the mission and are willing to drop $20,000. And I know that's hard for me to say because I'm definitely not in a position, but, you know, there are people out there who want to do that. We need to find those people within, you know, the data that we have. And then there are relationships that we could have with organizations that are not at odds with our mission that would be willing to support in the tens of thousands of dollars if we found the right partnership. And that's what it's going to take. It's a combination of those three things on the revenue side.
Julie, may I ask you, are you contemplating, is there any discussion going on, even though it would require a vote of the membership? Is there any discussion of increasing the membership, the minimum fee for membership? I know we basically are operating on a small donor model, but we're at a very small donor model for a long time.
Well, and you know what? There can always be a place for that. You know, I mean, if anybody who's been in fundraising, I'm sure Stephanie knows what I'm talking about, or Chris, or, you know, there's always that story of the lady who, you know, somebody rolled their eyes and say, oh, she just gives $5 a month, but she's been doing it for 50 years, you know, or $10 a month. So there is a place with that for small, consistent donations, the loyal donor who is willing to give the $15, the $10 every month, every quarter. Definitely a place for that in a model. But you have to, it's kind of like what Stephanie's talked about, and anyone who's actually worked in fundraising understands the pyramid of giving. Or you can make it a pie or a pyramid, whatever you want to do. But you need to figure out, like, how are we building this? And it cannot all, we cannot be 100% the small giving model. I haven't asked in a while because I've been so busy. When I first started, I asked a couple of people, well, how do you set the gift or the donation amount for the premium that you're giving? I don't think there's a formula. I don't know who's making that decision. The decision is made very frequently. Maybe Jerry and maybe the general managers and the program directors work very closely together on that. I would love to see that information. I don't know how they do it at KPFK because they don't have they haven't had a general manager in a while. So if anybody could speak to that, I would love to hear.
Our Paul for a fast answer.
Sure.
Go ahead, Paul.
And then Beth.
Yeah, the formula is 10 to 1. If you have a premium and it costs you to acquire the premium $10, you charge $100, for the premium on air. And that's been a formula that's been around in Pacifica for a very long time. And in fact, I believe the NFC, I think we passed a motion that's how it should go, and that's how it's been supposed to be going for many, many years now. So 10 to 1 is the official way we're supposed to do it, and we've even had, shall we say, we have had certain discussions on the NFC with folks at stations who have been not doing 10 to 1, but like 5 or 6 or 7 to 1. And so, yeah, 10 to 1 is officially it, and it may even be in a motion somewhere in the PNB. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Arpal. No one has ever told me that. I obviously was asking the wrong person. But one question that would be,
Beth is asking that too.
Yeah, I have Beth and then Kim. Go ahead, Julia.
How is that monitored? And also, when that how old is that 10 to 1? Is that a few years old? Is that 20, 15 years old? That type of thing. And also, when that was set, was it taken into consideration that people of the stations were using call centers? I was not here before COVID, so I don't know if call centers were the standard, before that. They might have depended on the station, but I think people would be shocked at the price of some of the, the costs in excess of the premium, because it still is going to have the shipping cost added to it to get to the station, and then we're having to turn around and ship it out. And I think the net on it is much less than people realize. We'd have to do a study on that.
All right. I can tell you that it's the 10 to 1 has been since at least the mid-90s at BAI and not long after that for everybody else. And there was another question of – oh, God, I can't remember your other question now. I answered. I had two of them on the tip of my tongue.
Like monitoring it.
Well, the station management is supposed to make sure that it works that way. There was something else you asked, and I have the answer, but I can't remember what the question was.
Maybe the call centers?
Yes, of course, the 90s is before the call center, and call centers, I know for New York, the call centers only came in, some years ago now, because I think I was told that the law said we couldn't just have people come in off the street and sit there writing down other people's credit card information.
Yep. Yep.
So that's what we were told. And
yep, that makes sense.
I'm trying to remember when that would have been, back about the 2010-ish, 2012-ish, somewhere in there, I think. That's memory. I could look it up, I suppose.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to break in just to add, I think, a solution to that problem with people writing down other people's credit card numbers or other financial information is to have those computers where when you type it, when you type a password or an access code in, the number disappears as soon as you type it. And if you've got programming that does that, apparently that's some solution to part of that legal problem.
Oh, I could game that so easily.
Yeah, I'm sure there's many ways to game that. I agree, but I think legally speaking, that's one of the solutions that have been offered. Were you done, R. Paul?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, we have now Beth and then Kim.
Thank you. Yes, I want to acknowledge, I recognize the wisdom in what Julie is saying. That's classic development policies and practices and protocols. And if you work that program, it will likely pay off. But it takes continuity. It takes someone who knows those things and has the skill set to do it, and then continuity over time. It's all about building those relationships. The small donor model works if you use that to get lots of people in the door and then have a process in place to upsell them over time and find out what their interests are and speak to that. And it takes building those relationships. And given the state of things at KPFK, really, since I got here, got to governance, it's been frustrating. I understand why a lot of that isn't happening at this point. We've had, depending on how you count, 5 to 6 people wearing the GM's hat in the last year, 4 of them in the last 4 months. And so effectively, we've been decapitated. It takes knowledgeable, responsible management with that managerial skill set to lay out that program and mentor other people into it and implement it over time to build on that to get to the point where it pays off. It can be done, but not if you're bleeding out personnel and there's no clear path forward and we're living hand to mouth. So we need to address the managerial problems to get to the point where we can actually implement a development plan. And I'm doing what I can around the edges and with whoever's available. It's not quite the same as having someone whose job description that is and who comes with the authorities to do that. So that's it for now. Thanks.
Kim. Kim?
Sorry, I was on mute.
Don't worry.
R. Paul's formula is kind of the standard public radio formula, and it is a wish list more than it's an actual thing at KPFK over the years. Without getting into specific things, that's all I'll say. It's people do what they got to do when they got to raise money. And it's not always been the best decisions over the years. And here we are. So that's my opinion. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. We are now out of time for this item. Unless someone has some burning questions and wants to extend, we should probably move on. Not hearing anyone, I guess we can go on, which takes us to number 8, the motion to update Pacifica transaction limits. Beth, we have this for 20 minutes, if needed. And Beth, why don't you go ahead?
Sure. Thank you. Yes, I first got to Pacifica governance almost 3 years ago now, 2.5 years ago, this is one of the first things I asked for, was to see this this policy. And I was told that, in fact, there was one, but no one could point me to it. No one could say, most people agreed that the limit was $5,000, but without the actual wording of that policy, there's no real way to implement it, to enforce it, to invoke it. And so I went on kind of an odyssey asking throughout the organization for whatever previous policies we've had, and it took more than 2 years for someone finally to come forth with the previous policy you see at the bottom of the email that I sent out, at the bottom of today's proposal. People were right. There had been a previous policy. It's clear that from 2013, it's clear that that's not adequate now, and that we need something more substantive, comprehensive now. And so I've started with the standard processes. I've seen it work in every other nonprofit I've been with, and taken input from everyone I can find to offer it, which is getting excuse me, as close to a dozen people now. And I've come up with the motion as I sent it around earlier. I'll read it now. It is a motion to update Pacifica Transaction Limit Policy. The NFC recommends that the PNB authorize the Executive Director, General Managers, Pacifica Unit Managers, and other senior Pacifica management as designated by the Executive Director to approve on their own authority all reasonable and necessary standard transactions within policy and budgetary guidelines in amounts up to and including $10,000 per fiscal budget year cumulative, including all previously approved contractual obligations and routine payments. Any and all proposed new transactions in excess of $10,000 per fiscal budget year cumulative require PNB approval in advance. All such proposed new transactions shall be submitted by management to the PNB in writing, in advance, and considered for approval at the next appropriate PNB meeting. In case of emergency, the most senior acting Pacifica management may obtain the necessary approval with the signatures of the current acting Pacifica CFO and any two currently seated elected PNB officers, a process to be reserved strictly for emergencies. Any transaction in excess of the transaction limit executed without prior PNB approval is in violation of Pacifica policy. Any and all questionable transactions shall be reported immediately to the PNB, shall be agendized at the next appropriate PNB meeting, and shall be considered in performance evaluations. This policy of June 14, 2022 supersedes the previous PNB spending policy of April 25, 2013, and any and all other previous pertinent Pacifica policies.
Would
you like to further motivate, Beth?
Just to say that it just seems to me self-evidently necessary, and I've been nervous over the months as various things have happened at various stations without having something like this in place to prevent people from doing whatever occurs to them. And so I'm hoping that if we want to tweak it further, we use it for a year and then revisit it and do course correction. I'm completely open to that. I've had a lot of input along the way, and if you look back through the previous iterations, you can find where I've incorporated input from every source that's sent any. So I'm hoping we can see our way clear to getting this done today. Thank you.
R. Paul for stack.
Paul, did I hear anyone else before, Paul? Okay, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, okay, the final sentence in there, this policy of June 14th, 2022 supersedes. This is a policy that's going to go to the PNB, so I think it needs to, I think what we need to do is to strike the words of June 14th, 2022 and leave it as this policy supersedes the previous. So that's my amendment.
I'm open to that. I just changed my working copy. That makes
okay,
sense.
Is there any discussion of our Paul's amendment?
I approve.
Okay, good. hearing no further discussion, why don't we vote on that, and then we can go back to discussing the whole thing.
See if anybody objects.
Yes, is there any objection? Hearing none. We'll now incorporate that into the main motion, and we'll go back to that discussion. Anybody else for the stack?
Julie for the stack.
Julie, and did I hear someone else?
Chris.
I got Julie first, then Chris.
And then
go ahead, Julie.
Great.
This is Kim.
Okay, and then Kim. Gotcha.
Yeah, I just wanted to report that I did some homework for this. I did a little bit of searching on the internet, you know, for nonprofit financial policies and procedures. And there certainly are, you know, nonprofit organizations out there, that is to say that they support nonprofits, you know, with management and oversight and board operations kinds of things, you know, who suggest, you know, having a financial, a manual that's financial policies and procedures. And some of them do actually include, you know, limits on transactions or on checks that can be written. I mean, every nonprofit's a little bit different, right? But, you know, who has the authority to write checks, et cetera, et cetera. So this is the kind of thing that, you know, this is a motion on one very specific component of what we would want to have in a complete, you know, financial policies manual. But, you know, as we dig ourselves out of the financial situation that we're in and try to get funding from, you know, other sources than just listeners, you know, major donors like to see things like having a financial policy manual, and you know, this is step one on the way to having such a thing. So that's why I intend to vote for this motion. Thanks.
Thank you, Julie. Chris.
Sorry, I was having trouble unmuting.
No problem.
So if I'm to gather correctly, the cumulative amount that can be allocated without approval is $10,000 per year. If that's not the case, I need to be corrected. But I have a follow up question for that.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so how is that to be monitored? There has to be a responsible party monitoring this. Does that fall in the lap of the CFO, or, and it's certainly not articulated in the motion. So I'm just questioning how someone would get, for lack of a better way, busted on this. Thanks.
We do review budgets. We do review monthly financials. I get tips from people inside stations and from listeners to look into whatever. It does, ultimately, the response for oversight does fall to governance, but the responsibility for supervision falls up the chain of command through management. I would hope that some kind of review of this would be included in performance review annually, just standard processes.
And I, there is a, the last, the next to the last paragraph does describe what's to take place if violations occur. There is a process there. And again, if I think we need something in place now, we need to start with something, and this can always be amended or augmented or replaced or whatever as we gain experience with it. And I'd like to see it revisited next year for whatever course correction might be necessary by then. I expect we will learn something between now and then. Thank you.